Chapter 2. Students. As difficult as the following change was, Toshinori had to admit it, followed their trend. Just when he thought he understood Aizawa, he was surprised. Usually it was a good surprise. Then, this time, it was decidedly not good. Incredibly not good, if he was going to be honest. Aizawa had nothing to say to him for days. Toshinori tried briefly to be anything but crushed, but couldn't manage it. It was like a return to their previous accord, or lack thereof, and all the more nerve-wracking for what had just occurred between them. A few days prior, he had seen himself utterly undressed and exposed in the mystery of the man's safe hands, existing for an hour free of shame for anything he wanted or thought. And now it felt as though Aizawa had revised his opinion on what he'd seen that night. More than the argument, perhaps the younger hero had found him undesirable, weak and bad after seeing so deeply into him, and his stupid suggestion was just a good excuse to turn away. The very thought made Toshinori want to hide, wither, vanish, immolate from double shame, give up. It felt like rejection on the deepest of levels, and Toshinori had to wonder if this wasn't an awful idea to begin with, for all their posturing about rules. If it wasn't wise for adults to go around opening each other up and rearranging what was inside, while still expected to perform in a professional teaching capacity. With each other, over the same class. It was new terrifying. Terrifyingly new. While the situation may not have violated their original ban on lovesickness, it certainly felt to Toshinori as powerful as a sickness, and one that bent his pathetic body in two when Aizawa wouldn't look him in the face, but to cast an impatient glare down his nose or wave him and the children out the door like he was a paid babysitter. He tried to reorder, rearrange, and reprioritize his thoughts around the root cause, and not his anxieties, with limited success. In any case, it was clear he'd messed up with Aizawa. Big time. All Might big. No more was he stampeding around in his hero form unless absolutely necessary, and only then for the children's lectures. He tried to reach out. He really did. But every time the younger hero spoke over him or ignored a clear attempt at communication, Toshinori inwardly recoiled and the stinging, vindictive phrase looped in his head. We can't all be All Might. It was bad enough that, in a far-off part of his mind, he wondered if this was really it. After a day or two, it became obvious that he only had one course of action available to him. He had to wait until Aizawa was ready to speak to him again. The problem was, he'd never been good at waiting. Ever. Toshinori was always the first one into a dangerous situation. Always the first to leap into the dark or the fray. This was primarily because he was a hero, but secondarily because he couldn't bear the caustic press of anxiety and the unknown. He had to know. He had to act. Otherwise the worry would eat him alive. And this, admittedly more civilian example, was no exception. So, if this was about an issue during Aizawa's school days, he went to the one person who would surely know what it was, if not what to do to make things right. Between classes, gigs, and social engagements, it was a challenge pinning the busy voice hero down to an exact time. Yamada was a champ about it, and seemed excited to sit down with him for any reason, lack of explanation be damned. However, once Toshinori finally had Yamada in front of him in the staff room, grinning eagerly over the back of his reverse chair, he couldn't quite find the words to describe what had happened, much less what he needed to understand from the intersection of the UA Sports Festival, Aizawa, and a boy named Shinzo Hitoshi. So then I suggested that he train the boy himself, Toshinori finished, feeling as though he were confessing a sin of epic proportions. To his acute distress, Yamada's jaw dropped as if he agreed. Oh no. the young pro-hero blurted out, eyes wide behind his stylish green glasses. No, 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 no. Oh, no. Toshinori groaned, putting his head in his hands, his worst fears confirmed. No, no, I mean, no, definitely not good, broski, but... The voice hero struggled for a moment, tilting his head and his hands this way and that. I mean, it's not really your fault, Yagi-san.
It's not?
He asked, not a bit relieved. It's all Eraser. Everything about it. It was just a matter of time, honestly.
How do you mean?
Toshinori asked hesitantly, settling back into the couch and sparing a glance towards the staff room door, knowing that Aizawa was booked for class that entire hour. They had more than enough time, even if the thought itself stung guiltily, like he was sneaking around behind Aizawa's back. He was, sort of. Across from him, Yamada gave a pained expression, grimacing. He got really, emotional during this year's sports festival, he hedged, shrugging. You know, as much as our boy gets. So, like, an eyebrow twitch? Like, a fully unwarranted eyebrow twitch?
About Shinso Hitoshi?
Toshinori clarified, confused. Yamada nodded. The kid, his quirk, all that stuff about living to be a hero, it hits a little close to home, you know, with the trouble he had.
Trouble?
Aizawa had his fair share of it, as the stories would tell. Even Toshinori knew how inaccurate or biased the hero course exam could be, denying entry to those with a strong heart but weak arms. But this was something he had never thought about. Despite the incredible utility of his quirk, Aizawa had gained entry to UA based solely on his physical abilities. It all came down to his agility, technique, quick mind, muscle, and grit, plus his capture weapon. Eraserhead, yet unnamed, had nothing to take from robots. The young, wiry boy with bruised knuckles did. And even then, there was only so much he could do, and his brilliant mind made up the difference. Oh, yeah, dude. He got in entirely on rescue points, Yamada drawled, cheek in hand and kicking his feet. He'd logically deduced, according to the types of heroes who were accepted and graduated and their respective quirks, that another scale of grading had to be in place. So dude bet it all on the idea of rescue points and basically saved a bunch of kids' hides and probably cock-blocked them from getting in, haha. I think he dinged, like, one robot because his reins got tangled and he broke his wrist, but yanked out its processor. Yeah.
Oh my,
Toshinori said under his breath, blue-black eyes wide. Yeah, he smashed the written portion and his entry exam paints him like a saint. It's funny, considering. The voice hero gave a shrug, but a quick smile said they loved the rumple, unsociable man anyway. Me? I just screamed at everything I could see. It was pretty sweet. Really helped out my written exam, which was, not stellar. Previously caught in the tide of Aizawa's story, Toshinori surfaced, blinking at the sunny, bashful man in front of him and his ridiculous upward swoop of hair.
Forgive me, but...
Already done, my man, Yamada gushed, waving his hand floridly. Toshinori paused and tried again.
You said your test scores weren't ideal. Mistakes happen, but from what I understand, the pro-hero scale ranks you as highest in intelligence?
Oh yeah, I got mad anxiety, Yamada said sheepishly. I had a panic attack during the written exam and they kicked me out because, you know, I was causing a scene or something. As if the tense memory was invading his body, Yamada's foot started tapping, quick and shallow. I was pretty lucky I managed to get anything down at all and didn't puke on the test booklet. And back in the day, they weren't that, you know, accommodating. So they wouldn't let me stim or anything to take the edge off. It's all about the pressure. Can't do it. I'm smarter stoned on a Saturday than sitting in for a test at 8 a.m. Then he hastily clapped his hands over his mouth and
despite their serious subject matter. Toshinori couldn't help but laugh, low and tired. Your secret is safe with me, Yamada-san.
Hey, man, just call me Hizashi, he said with a laugh, then plowed onwards, running a hand through his upswept hair. Anyway, I really wanted to be there, to get in. Shota did too. You should have seen him after the practical entry exam, bloodied head to toe and trying to set his wrist with that prototype capture weapon, like a pint-sized badass. I was almost scared of him. So, of course, I was like, hey, him, that guy, he's gonna be my best bud, haha.
It sounds like you made the right decision.
That's what I said. Everybody else missed out, in my humble opinion.
Toshinori frowned and raised a brow, not understanding the statement. Yamada, clearly caught, demurred for a minute, before sighing and giving up. He explained. Shota was not popular, at all. Imagine the shock of new classmates who thought his quirk was whips, only to realize that this strange, quiet boy could kill their natural-born abilities with a look. As the torrid account unfolded, Toshinori found himself aghast. Fooled by his cool logic and unflappable demeanor, the older hero hadn't even thought about how hard it must have been for Aizawa in academy and the discrimination he must have faced. Children that young didn't have much else to prop up their identities. They were their quirks, and often the most valuable lesson of those 3 years in the hero course was learning who they were without them. As Yamada chattered, Toshinori tried, looking at his huge hands, to recall his younger days and his reaction to someone who could strip his entire self away with a look. He shuddered. Terror, resentment, anger. If Aizawa wasn't bullied, he was actively avoided. Toshinori's heart squeezed sharply, almost like Aizawa was avoiding young Shinso, whose quirk invited such similar fear. It brought it all too close, didn't it? Unfairness of the world that he had barely escaped. Yet, here the man was, working as a teacher. And then a well-meaning idiot came along, shouting about mentorships and heroism and opened the can of worms all over again. The idea of this school must have meant a lot to him, Toshinori said pensively, tense, then and now.
UA is the place to be, man. I mean, you went here, Present Mike said with a shrug, bright green eyes flicking away shyly behind his glasses.
Toshinori smiled, thin and cockeyed. It was even less accommodating then, I think. The younger hero shrugged, lips pursing.
And we've got a ways to go, but we're working on it. Gotta make sure everyone is safe and supported. Especially heroes, he said.
Then abruptly his sunny expression darkened. He bowed his head and began furtively flicking at one of the many zippers on his outrageous jacket.
Maybe there was a changing of the guard or something, but there wasn't a lot available whenever the three of us were here. Not for Shota, anyway.
How so? Yamada shifted tensely in his seat, clearly caught by the simple question. He bit his lip. Maybe the question wasn't so simple, Toshinori realized, catching the other man's clear discomfort. For the first time, Yamada seemed to be negotiating the space between a factual accounting of Aizawa's school days and a personal secret.
He's a special kind of guy. He needed a special touch.
Toshinori waited, and Yamada gave in after just a few seconds, wincing and waving his hands.
Ah, shit. Just, I can't say any more, guy. Might have said too much already. Eraser's relationship with UA isn't simple. I was surprised when he came to teach, and honestly, I thought it might have been peer pressure. Like, me and Namori were doing it. But when is he ever worried about what the cool kids were up to? And we stopped talking for a while there. For a year, maybe two.
Yamada's expression, mournful, said he knew exactly how long it was, probably in seconds. His foot rapped at the floor even faster, and he started tapping his thumb and fingers together in an odd but purposeful sequence, gaze distant.
But then he showed up, and it was super clear he'd come to bring rain and make change. So, yeah, here we are. Our favorite sleeping bag teacher. Beloved by all. Still confused on how we got here, but it's good. Been good for a while.
I see, Toshinori said quietly. Not sure he did. Yamada shook his head and fretted at his headphones again. He was a very busy man with many moving parts, the older hero realized, and managing must have taken quite a bit of mental energy.
You know, I fucking love this place, but I get how it wasn't perfect for everyone. Shota gets it the opposite way, too. We're good because we're trying to make it better, together.
It's an admirable thing, Toshinori said with feeling. He never knew that there was such a concentrated effort among the staff to change the way the school worked and supported its students, especially as the physical and psychological burdens of professional heroism became clearer over time. The friendship between present Mike and Eraserhead, day and night in terms of personality, was finally beginning to make sense to him. And how? Yamada Hizashi was foolhardy, loud, careless, the kind of well-meaning jokester who would hang out with a class, terror, and think nothing of it. He was the only one brave enough to stick around and see Aizawa, understand him, and realize he would never use his quirk without reason. Aizawa was many things. A sadist was not one of them. And Yamada may have just saved his life in school.
Thanks, buddy. He can be a little much, but the guy is my rock, you know? Saved my bacon more times than I can count. Sounds like you've got an eye out for him, too.
Toshinori nodded, not sure what else to say. Honestly, it was hard for him to take his eyes off the homeroom instructor. And after this, how could he?
The more people looking out for him, the better. That's how the hero thing works, after all, Mike said firmly. He gave a sunny smile, extending a hand. Thanks, big guy. Happy to have you on board the Shota Squad.
Moving slowly in the surreal moment, Toshinori grasped the young hero's hand and shook, but immediately knew something more was required to express the tangle of emotions rising in his sore chest. So he added another hand, grasping Yamada's hand and thin wrist securely, and looking him in the eyes. I know it may seem forward, or even anachronistic, he began stiffly, trying to find the words. He set his jaw, nodding formally. But thank you. I can see that you are an incredible friend, and too few young men had the kind of insight that you did in Academy. Where others gave in to fear, you persisted with a smile, which I consider the cornerstone of being a hero. Your heart is truly exceptional, and I'm proud to be working beside you, as an instructor and a friend. Yamada was frozen by the attention for a minute, almost spooked. Then he visibly melted under the praise and devolved into ecstatic word salad, one hand to his face.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god! I can't believe freaking All Might is freaking touching me! This is so crazy! This is so cool! Oh my god! Holy shit! Wow! Wow!
Apparently, Toshinori wasn't the only one happy to be gaining new friends. He certainly didn't expect the full-body hug at the end, but it wasn't bad. On the contrary, having Aizawa Shota's unexpected best friend nearly lift him off the floor in an impassioned bear hug that only made him cough for 5 minutes straight, it felt like some sort of beginning. Or, at least, an understanding. Understanding he could do. Understanding came naturally to an empathetic soul such as himself. Explaining was another matter entirely. And if Yamada's story revealed one thing, he apparently had a lot of explaining to do to one very important, very brave, very angry teacher.